Hi there, everybody. My name is Sophie Aldred, and I played Ace in Doctor Who. And you are listening to Podcastica.
Hello, Whovians, and welcome to Podcastica here on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. We're going to talk about Hellbent, but before we do, I would like to introduce my good friend Taylor. Taylor, how's it going?
It's going great, man. How are you doing?
I am doing quite well. We have a whole bunch to talk about, and I am very, very, very excited to start talking about Hellbent, but we have Who News. So we should probably get to that first.
Yeah, definitely. We are officially in December now, which means that the Lego TARDIS set is now available
for
purchase. Hopefully has been purchased for me for Christmas. Hint, hint, hint.
I don't think anybody's
in the next room can hear me.
No, I don't think so either. I have to put that on my Amazon wish list with every other Doctor Who pop figurine you can think of.
I asked for a couple of those as well, just to kind of toss a couple more things on my list. And I honestly say that I don't think there's anybody in the next room. We're getting my wife a PS4 for Christmas. She wants Star Wars Battlefront.
Yes, I think, I think we might have to, I'll give you my PSN username and we can shoot those dirty rebels together.
I'm sure I'll try playing it at some point. For me, it's racing games.
Yes.
But I did notice that the Lego Dimensions that has the Doctor Who expansion pack is available for PS4.
Yes. I need to get on that at some point here.
And now I'm going to go back to full volume because I've stopped talking about that. Thank you for indulging me.
What else do we got from the Who News?
Oh boy, talking about purchasing stuff, Hot Topic has almost not surprisingly launched a line of Doctor Who themed women's clothing. Saw that story via the folks over at Nerdist.
Yeah, I saw some of the I think I saw a really cool looking TARDIS dress. Mm-hmm. I saw another dress that was kind of in the style of Matt Smith's Doctor. Really cool from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's some neat stuff. Nothing horribly garish, all actually kind of almost a little understated, which I'm not used to coming from Hot Topic.
Yes, that is understated is not Hot Topic style.
Not one bit. But speaking of Nerdist, one of the podcasts on their network, the JV Club, just last week had an interview with Oscar,
with
Ingrid Oliver.
Did you check it out? I didn't get a chance to.
I did. I gave it a listen. It's good. They talk about a lot of stuff that's not Doctor Who. I mean, they do touch on it, obviously, but it was nice to just kind of learn more about her as an actress and a comedian. And yeah, it's kind of fascinating to listen to.
Sweet. I have to put that in my podcast folder. And listen to it.
Definitely check it out. It's worth it.
And this last piece of news was a nice thing to wake up to this last week. Go ahead and take it away.
There was a little video released that basically, I guess, implies that Peter Jackson will be directing. Peter Jackson of the Hobbit. Oh boy.
Yes.
The Hobbit trilogy and the Lord of the Rings extravaganza roadshow.
Yes.
we'll be directing an episode of Doctor Who next year.
Very, very exciting. The little video is of him shining his Oscars. And
yes.
I guess he received an email from Moffat. I think that's his daughter, right?
Yes, that's Peter Jackson's daughter who's
and
in that.
She's like, "Dad, you got another letter from Stephen Moffat," and he's like, "Who?" And then Peter Capaldi walks in the doctor walks in the door and gives him this note and says, "It's very important. It's a contract. You have to sign it, and I have to return it to Mr. Moffat."
Yep.
And it's
and then the Dalek comes.
Oh yes, and then the Dalek comes in, and it's great. It's great.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
Yeah, it would be very cool. And I have joked many times that if he were to direct an episode, it would quickly turn into three episodes.
Hey, I'm fine with that.
Right,
I'm completely fine with that.
Now, granted, I did see a little something later on that said that was actually still a rumor. I'm gonna put just a little grain of salt on this, but I've got a feeling it's still gonna happen.
Yeah, I feel like BBC's kind of tight knit in what Peter Capaldi appears in, like filming wise. So I would assume that they gave him the okay to go ahead and film this because it was almost certain that it was gonna happen.
That's kind of my gut feeling with it as well. I mean, I guess as we get closer to season 10, we'll see. But
yeah.
I mean, for season 10, for actually hitting the 10th season, that would be a pretty awesome director to have on board.
Yes, yes, it would. That would be amazing to have him even direct. Because if this is the way we're going with the new episodes where it's kind of two-parters, that would be great for him to get in and direct two.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Very, very exciting. Speaking of exciting, we watched Hellbent, written by Stephen yep. Moffat, directed by Rachel Talalay, and Taylor, you have a synopsis for us.
I do, and I'll be honest, for quite a while I sat there and went, I don't know how I can sum this up. I don't think I can. I almost left this blank, but I came up with this. The Doctor plays Gallifrey in a move to save Clara, but she's stuck in a beat and taking her own long way back home.
Perfect. I love it.
Thanks.
So this was an episode. Let me tell you.
boy, was it.
We are both speechless. We don't know where to start. So as I said, my film teacher used to say, let's start at the beginning. We're in Nevada.
In a Ford Bronco.
I honestly, when this opened up and then he went into a diner, I thought this was a music video.
like a ZZ Top music video. You'd expect the hot rod to roll in, the dudes, the beards, you know?
I thought that was going to happen, but I'm kind of glad it didn't because we pan up and we see a woman wearing a blue diner style dress and it turns around and it's Clara and be still my swoon city heart.
And I can actually think of the perfect ZZ Top song to go with our swooning, because she's got legs and she knows how to use them. But John, when he got to the diner and got out and they had the sign there in the foreground for Jackson, Nevada, which apparently is not a real town in Nevada, there was a small Buckaroo Banzai reference.
A Buckaroo Banzai reference.
Now, I should ask first, do you know who Buckaroo Banzai is?
I do not know.
Okay, I'm going to give you some movie watching homework. Listeners, you as well. I literally just turned my head and pointed it at another part of my room. that was kind of embarrassing. Buckaroo Banzai and the Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension, I think is the name of the movie. 1984, Peter Weller in a pre-RoboCop role where it's a very funky, oddball, cult classic movie that actually is really good and for being more than 30 years later actually holds up really well. I've got it on DVD. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but I highly, highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. But on the sign outside the diner, it says, no matter where you go, there you are. And that is a line from that film.
Huh.
Yep. Nerd power.
And the Doctor goes into this diner and I almost thought at first he was in that place in his head again.
I had the same thought. It's like, oh my God, he's in his happy place.
Yeah, but it didn't make sense. Well, I mean, I guess it would make sense that his happy place was the diner that he was hanging out with Amy and Rory and River at
right.
in a past regeneration. or generation or whatever you want to call it.
An earlier season.
Yes, in an earlier season. And he does not recognize her, it seems.
Yeah, and she doesn't recognize him, it seems.
There's a lot of seeming going on. And
there is.
And he starts to play, I call it Clara's song. I don't think that's what it's called.
You know, I don't know, like, the official name of that piece of music, but I know it is associated with Clara.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yes. Every time it plays, I'm like, oh, Clara is somewhere doing something.
Pouring lemonade.
Basically. And she kind of is like, well, who are you looking for? And he then kind of goes into story mode, and we're on Gallifrey. And
yes, but not before saying such a beautiful line. Nothing's sad until it's over. And then everything.
Oh, Doctor.
Yeah.
Nothing is sad until it's over. But this episode is just beginning, so we don't get to be sad yet.
Okay.
Gallifrey looks amazing.
Doesn't it?
It just looks so cool. I loved everything about it. I loved, I even loved, like, the outskirts of Gallifrey, basically the barn where he grew up in. I like how everyone's dressed. It just looks really, really cool. If I had the time, I would cosplay as a Gallifreyan, but I don't know if
as a lowborn Gallifreyan.
No, I'd be like
Outland.
No, I'd be like, I'd have,
you'd be like High Council.
Oh yeah, I'd be like High Council. I'd have the headdress and everything.
Oh my god. I'd love that. I was kind of thinking, I'm like, could I pull off a gender swapped Osgood cosplay? That might be the only thing I really. I'd give it a try.
Do it. You might as well. Everyone else, like, when we went to Gallifrey 1, there were 10 million Osgoods.
Well, I can imagine.
Which now actually makes more sense.
Well, yes. They're all Zygons.
They're all Osgood.
Well, that would be the funny thing to do. If somebody comes up, so are you playing cosplaying Osgood too? I'm like, no, I'm cosplaying a Zygon.
Yes, perfect.
You could just do that. You could just do that in street clothes. You could totally just rock up in street clothes and be like, yeah, cosplaying a Zygon.
Please don't tell anyone. Leave me alone. I just want to live. Then I'm trying to think of, so he goes to this barn and this woman's like, you're not supposed to be in here. And then sees his face and goes, oh, which kind of reestablishes that Time Lords can recognize other Time Lords, right?
Well, yeah, but we don't necessarily have it established that she's a Time Lord. She is Gallifreyan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's what I meant.
They're not interchangeable.
So I just wonder, I don't know. That was a little weird that she immediately kind of recognized him. I did love the gag when she would come in and try to tell him, like, people are here, but she could never quite get it out.
Exactly. It's like she progressively loses the ability to talk.
Yes.
To the point of it being straight comical. Like last night we were watching it. We had some friends over and we were kind of at a little viewing party. And that was kind of like, we were all kind of chuckling at that. Like, just get the words out, lady. It's not that shocking, is it? I mean, but maybe it is because, you know, later on they're talking about, you know, being way out in, what do they call it? Like the dry lands or something. And, you know, this obviously is not a place that the Lord President or the High Council, you know, come with any regularity.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Maybe it is a speechless moment for her.
Apparently, especially when the person we come to find out is Rassilon comes to visit. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk about the Cloister Wraiths.
That's when I was waiting for that. Yeah, the Cloister Wraiths, which is thing to me.
When we get closer looks of them later, and they call, I guess, Gallifreyans called them the Sliders, which was a show from the 90s, but
yeah, it's actually on Netflix. I encourage people to watch it. It's kind of hokey, but it's good.
I love the way they moved, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of moved like, who did I say earlier in the season looked like they were on like one of those
Colony Tharp.
Yes, it looks like he's on like a Segway or something.
Yep.
Kind of moved like that. Mm-hmm. I liked it almost looked like they had different, like, people's faces of their, like, death in their face, if that makes sense. It, like, flash.
Mm-hmm.
It's very creepy. Yeah, no, it was a neat effect. Very, very creepy. And the doctor, who apparently is Han Solo now, looked like, kind of looked like Han Solo when he was out in the barn. He would come out, because they find out he's there, and then it's like, well, we need to, like, go get him and talk to him.
And I'll be honest, I mean, it looked like everything in that scene, like the soup scene.
Yes.
When the ship comes up, I literally, in my notes, I'm like, oh my God, this is like a spaghetti Western.
Yes.
And then the ship comes up with a big gun and the guy's just talking over the loudspeaker. And I'm like, oh my God, this is Firefly.
And he's just kind of goes up to it and stands like directly into the gun.
And did you notice that when he's like, lay down any, what does he say? It's like, lay down your weapons or lay down any weapons you have, and they cut and he throws down a spoon.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? And that was a second, that was a second viewing notice. I was like, oh my God, spoon. That's right. Yes. Robots of Sherwood.
He used that spoon. I think one of the first time, or no, the second time they try to come to talk to him, I think he draws the line in the sand the first time.
Yes.
Which was awesome. That was like the best. God.
It's, if I could actually get excited about a guy dragging his boot through the dirt, like that scene literally made me excited. I don't know why, but it was awesome.
A lot of my notes, as have been the last 2 to 3 episodes, are all in caps lock. And
you have quite a lot. I'm looking at it right now. You do have quite a lot.
And it's, for good reason, I think. You're right. Drawing the line in the sand was just like, for some reason, it's such a small thing, but also very epic. Because as we know, you do not want to mess with the doctor ever. And for the most part, he's willing to speak, but he was not speaking. He was just like, "Here's the line. Don't cross it."
Oh yeah, like a complete reversal from last week. Like he got all talked out last week. And it's just nothing but looks.
Yes.
And my God, what Capaldi can do with just a look.
Oh, yeah. It's all eyebrows.
Yes, it is.
And then they kind of figure out that... Oh, I love... I think one of the... somebody comes and starts trying to talk to him, and he just, like, does the... I don't know if you've ever seen the animated GIF that Grandpa Simpson does when he, like... walks into the door, takes his hat off, and immediately turns around, takes his hat off the hat rack, and walks out the door.
Oh, yes, yes, I have seen that.
He basically did something like that when he walked out, listened to the guy talk for like 2 seconds, and then just turned back around and went back inside.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, I'm going back inside.
The doctor is completely done with everyone's garbage, if you will.
Yes.
And then he, Rassilon finally comes. And
absolutely.
This whole thing was just very just, I don't know how to describe it. It was just like, this guy has gone off the rails like real quickly here. And it's nice that the rest of the guardsmen and his council were like, this dude's like lost his mind basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the Sisterhood of Karn show up, or when they walk in and, you know, I shout Karn like it's Norm at Cheers, but Rassilon is talking with, oh my gosh, the main sister,
yes,
of Karn. I can't remember her name for the life of me right now, but he's trying to figure out, you know, what's the doctor want? What is he upset about? And she goes, well, he doesn't blame Gallifrey for everything that happens in the Time War. He just blames you.
Yeah.
And suddenly Rassilon goes, well, crap, I guess I have to go down there now.
Yeah, and he goes down there with a bunch of guards and basically orders them to shoot the doctor. And they're kind of like, nah, we don't want to do that because this dude's unarmed and he's just standing there.
Well, and he's the man who won the Time War.
That too, which we find out is the main reason. And they all actually shoot, and then nobody hits him. They all purposely miss him.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, they join the doctor on the other side of the line. And
yeah.
I think at one point he says, how many regenerations did we grant you? And he has like some weird glove thing.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that glove. I don't know what it was supposed to be or what it could do. But I was like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But I would never get to explain.
I would assume it is what the president of Gallifrey is awarded when they become president. I would assume. And it almost seems like a thing that would take away regenerations and give them. So it can do both.
Maybe. I'll grant you that, especially given the line that he says.
Yeah.
When he's kind of like ramping it up. So yeah. That answer is as good as any other.
So I'm just kind of realizing this. When Clara kind of is before Matt Smith's regeneration, because he has no more regenerations, and she's kind of begging to the Time Lords to help him, it almost feels like that begging was not necessary because they would have saved him either way because of his knowledge of the hybrid.
That's a good point.
I didn't think about that until just now.
And let's be honest, Moffat probably didn't think of it at the time that he was writing that episode.
No, probably not. But
but it does kind of lessen that moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Man. Oh, well. And then we get the get off my planet line, and they banish... Oh. It was beautiful. It was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
And they banish him. Banished, sir, and he flies away in a I feel like this probably isn't the last we've seen of Rassilon.
I hope not.
Oh, because
I mean, he's such a main figure. I mean, one great actor,
yeah,
playing him right now, but he's such a big figure in kind of Time Lord society that,
yeah, I would assume we're gonna
I'm sure we'll see him again.
Yes. Maybe he and Missy team up and try to overthrow Gallifrey or some craziness. I don't know. And then we kind of find out what we find
you
out.
You know, speaking of,
go ahead.
Oh well, speaking of Missy, I know that it has been said before. I think by Missy herself that she set the Doctor and Clara up. Am I nuts or do I not actually remember that?
Remember
happening?
Her saying it.
No. Remember her actually doing it.
No. I'm trying to remember what episode the reveal was that she was the one that gave Clara the number to the TARDIS.
Oh, in the Bells of St. John.
Yes, but it wasn't in that episode that we find out. It's like way down the line. Well, this is like...
No, you're absolutely right. It's in like The Magician's Apprentice or something. Beginning
yeah.
of the season.
It's
where that's
like that.
Mentioned, but I couldn't put it together in my head because I don't remember seeing her do that. But as soon as you said that, I remember the scene.
Yeah.
Bells of St. John, because you don't see the lady. You're just like, oh, here's this number.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's okay. Boom. Done.
There is no scene in which you see Missy give, or I would assume maybe a different reincarnation of the Master, who was also a woman, give Clara the phone number. Or wait, does she say it? Oh, this is going way back. I feel like she almost says she called tech support and tech support told her to call that number.
Oh, no.
I don't
know.
Either way, that's what happened.
we eventually need a Matt Smith episode to review. Maybe we need to pick that one.
I agree.
Okay.
We will get into the Matt Smith stuff in the Doctor Who off season.
Meanwhile,
back on Gallifrey, I'm trying to think of where we are because there's some stuff here that I had some moral wrongness. I was like, no, Doctor, do this.
We're now back up in like the big tower. And we're getting all this juicy kind of hybrid talk.
Yeah. Oh, where he's sitting down with the council and he's having them. He's kind of doing with the Capaldi thing where he wants them to ask the question how he wants them to ask it, kind of.
Like, right. Yeah. He's sitting down with the general and like the Karn sisters, talking about this, and yeah, talking about like most of the prophecies, it's like, nearly all of the, okay, all the prophecies say this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give it to me straight.
And then the doctor's got this great line, and I don't remember what it's in response to. He's like, oh God, not you lot. You cramp my style.
Yes. And I'm trying to think of how there's a part where we start to, I'm like, do we really have to relive Clara's death again?
Right. Because, and looking at it, obviously with the hindsight of seeing the whole episode, this is the point where like tonally and the whole feel of the episode changes, because, you know, we spend all this time going, oh my God, he's gotten back to Gallifrey. He's gonna lay waste to the place, and he's gonna just rail on everybody, because you figure by this point he at least accepts that, okay, fine, Clara's dead. I'm gonna go take my vengeance out on Gallifrey. That's at least where my mind is. And then he goes, I'm gonna need an extraction chamber, and I know somebody who's got information about the hybrid.
Yes,
and this is where we get reliving Clara's death again, and suddenly, like, you see that his whole plan this whole time is like, oh, that's not your plan. Gallifrey is actually just a side note.
Yeah,
in this finale. And I'm like, oh dang, which I was kind of bummed by, because I really wanted to have more Gallifrey. But
I kind of did too.
Don't get me wrong,
but I did have some morality feelings on him bringing her back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I did like the story it told, because I think the writing was really well in the fact that she gets to find out what he's been doing, and we'll get to that in a.
Yeah.
But that whole scene when he brings her back and they're in like the extraction chamber. And then you come to realize that he not only wanted to get rid of Rassilon, he wanted to bring Clara back.
Right.
And this is where I think I have the note somewhere here. It's actually might be a little further down where, oh, this is the Water of Mars doctor once again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the funny part about that is as soon as I wrote that note, we got the four knocks.
So yeah, much later in the episode.
So we'll get to that, but I would just like to point out I wrote that note down and then was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Not the four knocks.
Yeah.
So
My reaction in the extraction chamber when it's like, oh crap, did we seriously just unwrite the past few episodes? Because they did that with the whole like Christmas special last year.
Right.
Where they basically just unwrote what happened. And I'm just like, oh, don't you go pulling that again.
Well, I assume what
luckily
it is. Yeah. Luckily they did not do that because of some dialogue towards the end of the episode. But the doctor has a gun and is acting very crazily. And actually, if you think about it, murders a dude.
Well, basically, yes. But, I mean, as he later says, he's like, no, I didn't kill anyone. You forget, we're on Gallifrey. This is like, you know, man flu.
Yes.
Regeneration, like man flu. but not even before. I for some reason, this episode, like, a lot of my notes are just really cool lines the doctor says.
Yes.
Because he's holding the gun. He's like, a pain of death. No one take a selfie.
Yes. Oh, jeez. Oh man, just as I said, the writing in this was fantastic. And for as much crap as we give Stephen Moffat as a showrunner, I think he did a fantastic job with this episode. So he shoots, is that the general?
Yeah.
So he shoots the general and they run away. But we should probably actually mention that Clara is kind of in her own little time loop.
Yes.
To which she is just living her last breath over and over again, and she doesn't have a pulse. So
yeah, she's literally stuck in her last heartbeat.
Yeah. And he basically says, like, to the general's like, you can't do this. And he's like, how do we know that I can't do this? Like, we don't know that this isn't going to work because nobody's actually tried it. So I'm going to try it and I'm going to shoot you now. So they go down to the cloister bells, or where the cloister wraiths are.
Yeah, down, basically down to the Matrix.
Because
the Matrix database.
Because he's basically trying to, well, we actually don't know what he's trying to do because he doesn't really reveal his plan to us. And it's kind of revealed at the last moments, which was in a great, great Clara moment.
So good.
And I think it's at this, around this point, oh, the general starts to regenerate, which they kind of fooled us with in the teaser that the doctor was going to regenerate or something, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out it was the general, and the guy says, sir, and she, oh, I'm sorry, he looks up, and he has regenerated into a she, which is, I believe, the first time that's happened, like, on screen, right?
Definitely the first time it has happened on screen. And I think also the first, I could be wrong, but I think it's also the first time that we have regenerated and also changed skin tone.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, I did.
But then we also, I think, find out that the general's, what, original gender was female.
Yes.
Because she makes some comments about, like, being a guy and, like, how do you handle the ego?
Yes. I think she says, like, back to normal then. Yeah, something
yes,
like
yes,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, and apparently at one point back down in the Matrix, in the Matrix data bank there, the doctor mentions that the cloisters had their own war too. I'm like, really?
Yeah, apparently a rich history.
Yeah,
on Gallifrey. I'm sure Big Finish Audio will take that as an opportunity to have some new audios, which I will get to a little later.
Yeah. But we also see that obviously some villains have made attempts to break into the Matrix.
Everyone. Weeping Angels, okay. Daleks, Cybermen. I love that. I feel like Clara's only interactions with Weeping Angels are in the finales of or Christmas episodes.
Seems to be, huh?
Yeah, because she had the small interaction with one in Matt Smith's last episode, and then she technically had one with her last episode when they tried to like grab at her, and they were. And he says they're because they're all kind of entangled. Oh, and the Dalek says, "Exterminate me."
Yes.
Because they're all kind of tangled in a, I think he called it like Ethernet cables or something like that, but they're like living.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of basically what they are. I mean, okay, yeah, they're rope lights, cool. you're waiting for like the black light mini golf course to be around the next corner.
Yes, I have, my note is Matrix database or third rate haunted house.
Yes, I saw that, and that is so true. There's something that is definitely kind of 80s about being down there. I don't know if that was intentional or not. I still love it, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
That. So they follow the Doctor and Clara down. This is when she finds out how long he was in his... how long he was how long he was in the confession dial, and we actually also find out that it was 4.5 billion years, and she just looks at him like, why and it's just like,
just, why would you do that?
Completely crushed. Why would you do that to yourself? And when they say all he had to do was tell us and he would have been freed, but he decided to go the long way around. Man, it's just like, he just does not want to lose another person.
Well, and let's set up a little bit of context. 4.5 billion years is the age of the Earth. From the time it started forming to right now, when you're listening to this podcast, the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. I think we also set up, now there's also a bit of story here in this whole scene, and it's told from two points of view, that the cloister wraiths will only try to, like, attack you, basically, if you try to leave or if you stay. But apparently there is a way out, and the doctor knows, because when the doctor was much younger, now granted he did look like William Hartnell, so he looked old, but
yes.
When he was much younger, he apparently got stuck in the Matrix databank for like 4 days, claims that the Wraiths spoke to him and showed him how to get out. And so that's what he's going back to do.
Now,
but I guess his experience in there drove him a little crazy or a little scared. Because I think they also told him the prophecy of the hybrid.
Oh, okay. Oh, because doesn't he try to like play it off as it was like a classmate or something?
Yes. He tries to play it off as somebody other than himself. And Clara's like, not just not buying it.
Yeah. Okay.
She knows him. and then obviously we get the great fake out.
Yes, because she whispers something to the doctor and she gets up and kind of goes towards the general, and they ask, what did you whisper? And she's kind of buying time, but you don't really understand why. And then she says, I whispered, don't worry, doctor, they'll all be looking at me.
And it's
so funny because they jump down, and this is just everything from here on out is just feeling notes, because they end up in the old console room.
Well, see, and that's the best part, because tying it back into that story, he escapes, right?
Yes.
Gets down in there. What's down there? TARDISes.
Yes.
And so, boom, yeah, we get completely, I swear that console room looks first Doctor.
Yeah, no, it is. It is for sure.
I mean, legit old school. It was so exciting. It was so neat just to see that, and just that almost modern minimalist, yes. I don't know how to describe it.
Black and white.
Interior. Yeah, black and white, exactly. Shades of gray. And do they all have their handbrakes stuck on?
I guess.
I mean, really?
Maybe he's just so used to it now. He's like, I'm going to put the handbrake on. He's like, I don't care anymore.
It didn't have good results.
No. But I guess, you know, wibbly wobbly.
Right. Speaking of timey-wimey, that actually, when they take off, that's the only direction they're heading in. Because he says, we're not traveling in space. We're only going forward in time.
Yes, we're going towards the end. They won't be able to find us. They won't be able to track us. And this is kind of where the doctor's like, he's like, do you have a pulse yet? Because that should, we'll just kind of, when we leave, you should have a pulse. And she doesn't have a pulse. And he's kind of getting upset, and he's just like, well, whatever, we're gonna pal around forever because you're my friend and I'd do anything for you. And they land, I think he says it's basically like the universe has like minutes to live.
Yeah. And so they're in the Matrix databank at literally the end of time. The universe has experienced heat death. This is it. This is over. There's just a few minutes left and no pulse.
And he says, well, maybe it just takes a little while. I don't know. And then I think this is when they land, and this is, he's just kind of talking in circles, just kind of saying like everything will be okay, you know, all this good stuff. And this is when I'm like, he's trying to play God again. And we know what happens when that happens.
Uh huh.
And then the four knocks happen. And I was like, oh crap.
And then he even says, he's like, oh, was it always four knocks?
Yeah, four knocks. It's always four knocks. And he goes out, and I think he says to her, like, he says, like, don't, just stay here and don't watch anything, or I don't know. He might say something like that. But in turn, he does leave her with the Sonic sunglasses.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he wanted to tell her indirectly because he knows that she would do that.
That's very possible. And we've neglected to mention that in the extraction chamber, one of the things that he got before they ran off was a neural.
Oh, it was a thing to like keep her alive, basically.
No.
No?
Not to keep her alive. No, no, no. This is the thing to wipe her memory.
Yes.
And it needs to be imprinted for a human.
Yes.
And that also is sitting on the console when he goes out.
Yes, I had forgotten that part. I forgot where he had gotten that from, and thank you.
Yeah, it was in the extraction. It was a very quick scene when he demands it.
Well, because
real quick.
I think he shoots the general and then says, I need one of those, but I need a program for a human. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it was about that fast.
So he opens the door to the new TARDIS, and he walks out, and we're back in the little, I don't want to call it a town. What do we call it? He's back in...
It's the Matrix data bank.
Oh, it is?
They did not travel in space. They only traveled in time.
It's the... So he finds a Shilda.
They're in the exact same spot, and a Shilda is there. Impossibly, I hate a show that says impossible this much, but impossibly old a Shilda, because she really has gone the long way around.
So she was on, I could have sworn that they were back in the, it looked like they were in the place from Face the Raven.
It does. It has that kind of narrow alleyway look to it.
Huh.
But when you have a chance, go back and rewatch it, because when they are taking off in that, you know, base model TARDIS, you know, no power windows, no...
Probably not a pool.
Probably not a pool, right? Exactly. He literally says, because I think Clara asks, "Where are we going?" And he's like, "We're not going anywhere. We're only going forward in time."
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Twitterverse, if I am wrong, let me know. But I am 99.5% certain that that's exactly what he says.
So he starts talking to Mayor McMee as
yay.
She is called on this show, and they basically discover together that the hybrid isn't just one person. The hybrid isn't like two people put together it from two warrior races. It's literally two beings that just hang out together and are bad for the universe.
It really was kind of funny, because at this point when she first... It's like, oh, why can't it be half human? And I went, oh, crap, her theory actually is the TV movie.
Yes.
Because we talked about that last week.
Yes.
And then she kind of fleshes the idea out more. And I was like, oh, God, it's a toxic relationship. Oh, my God, we've gone into, like, the self-help book of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They have to have a breakup, and they... Oh, God.
Basically, I mean, you find out that the hybrid is Clara and the Doctor just being around each other, because there's nothing that either one of them wouldn't do, or how far they would go to save each other.
Yeah.
And that I actually did write down, Clara is literally the Doctor, because she's like, oh, I watched everything, and then I reversed the polarity on this thing. So
I reversed the polarity. Thank you, Clara.
Yes. So deal with it. Here we go. This is when you find out that Missy brought them together for a reason.
Agent of Chaos, though she is.
Yes. And I don't really have a lot of notes during this whole scene when they're kind of saying goodbye to each other.
I've got a few. Because really, they are kind of having a breakup talk, and you know, a lot of this kind of traditional, like the Doctor wanting to protect, wanting to not have his companion experience any hurt over this. Like, that's his whole motivation behind, you know, like wiping her memory and like taking her back to Earth, even though she literally is just stuck in her final heartbeat.
Yes.
Probably wouldn't end well regardless. You know, she's like, no, screw you.
Yeah, these are my thoughts. You can't have, yes. You can't take these from me. That's all I have left.
That's exactly right. And eventually they just kind of, you know, the Doctor knows he's got to use this thing. And despite the chance that she actually could have reversed the polarity, quote unquote, on it, he doesn't know. She literally could be playing him.
Yeah.
And he decides to take that gamble, and
they roulette it.
They totally do. But at least in that last act, it's like, okay, you know, we've had some crazy adventures together. let's see where this adventure takes us. Let's do this one together too.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. I liked that.
I really, really liked that. And then I loved that they both touched it and then they were like, I guess maybe it takes a minute or... And then they're just kind of standing there and...
But you know what? But there's a point in that like awkward moment where Clara actually like wobbles and I'm like, oh, here it comes. And then the doctor wobbles and he starts to go down and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. He starts to wobble and says, I don't think you'll have to worry about those memories. And I'm just like, man, this is reverse Donna right now. This is nuts.
Oh, completely. Like, oh wow. Moffat, you turned that table and I did not see it coming.
So he's going to forget her and he falls over and he is telling her all this stuff and I'm crying and
well, and you know, the important stuff, never eat pears.
Yes. It's just, he's the doctor now. I mean, I know he's been the doctor for a while, but it's just like, he's hitting full stride in his doctorness, which is just, it's so awesome to see because I know there are a lot of people that were like, oh, this guy, I don't know, whatever. And even I was kind of like that at the beginning. But like, man, if you're not watching this, if you didn't watch this season of Doctor Who, shame on you for sure.
And you know what? I'm sorry, but I have to take a moment because, you know, especially once the episode airs, you know, I'll kind of like see what folks are saying on Twitter. Like folks here in America, because it's at that time.
Yeah.
For the next few days, you know, when I'm looking at stuff that the Doctor Who Facebook page posts, little behind the scenes bit, and you know, people chiming in on the comments, it's like some of these people, like, why are you even watching anymore? Like, you have nothing but vitriolic, like, bile to say about this. Like nothing that these people are doing on this show right now, which is, I'm serious, having its best season of New Who, bar none.
So I guess before we talk about that, you, on record, I of sound body and mind, you're saying that
you
this
have sound
is...
body and mind or me?
You, I'm saying you.
Oh, okay.
So you were saying this is the best season of Doctor Who since the reboot.
If you're looking at it as a complete season... I am not saying that other seasons didn't have really kick-butt awesome stories or awesome characters. I am looking as a complete season. Like, you're comparing a musical album as a whole to another album by the same artist or a different artist.
Right.
You know, if I'm looking at it as a complete unit, yes, I will go on record of sound body and mind.
Ooh.
And say that.
Now, I am... ready to agree with you. I feel good saying that this is the best season of Doctor Who, but I'm not completely sure if I'm 100% ready to of sound body and mind it.
Okay, you'll come around.
I'd have to do a rewatch, I think, but I feel pretty good in my rewatching of since the reboot over and over again with countless friends who are getting into Doctor Who. I feel very comfortable saying that, yes, this is indeed probably the best season of Doctor Who since we restarted.
I like the probably. This is indeed probably.
I'm going to say 90%.
I'll take it. That's an A.
That's an A. And I mean, I don't know what is holding me back. Maybe just... I'm more attached to Matt Smith and David Tennant. Maybe that's what it is. But I'm just from a storytelling standpoint, man, this has just been fantastic season.
Absolutely has been. So anybody who is you know, watching all of this and still just spewing all sorts of like unbelievable stuff about how they don't like this or they don't like that or they, you know, they think Moffat's just full of it. And there are times where I will agree with you. This is not one of them. Just stop watching. Go find something else. Go watch, I don't know, home makeover shows or something. Which, those are good too. But, you know, if you're just going to, like, spew a bunch of crap, step off, homie. Let us have this awesome thing that is Doctor Who right now.
Yeah, it's hitting its stride for sure. But we still need to talk about the rest of this episode. The Doctor goes down. He awakes in the desert. So this is how we find out how he comes to be in the desert. And
yeah, and my whole reaction is like, oh god, he really doesn't recall her.
Yeah, so but the weird thing about it is there's a part in the episode where the Doctor is talking about stories and what's the thing about stories, they're all true. So
yes.
It's not the same as Donna forgetting the Doctor. Yeah. And I don't know if they did that maybe to make it less tragic.
I don't know. I think basically, because this is one of those things that the five of us were talking about after watching the episode last night, is that it's kind of like when you have a dream and somebody was there in your dream, but you don't see them really.
Right.
You know that a person is there.
Yes.
That person, at least in this case, has a name, but you can't physically see them in that dream. So you couldn't just wipe all the Doctor's memories of Clara because there's so much else.
Yeah.
Story-wise that you would absolutely destroy if you were to do that. So the way that I rationalized it is that this, neural inhibitor, whatever thing, was, basically wired for a human.
Yeah.
It wasn't wired for Ryan. It wasn't wired for a Time Lord, even if Clara flipped the switch on it.
Okay.
So what it basically did is that it left the Doctor with the memory of what happened. It left him with the story.
Right.
And he, even at like one or two points, he describes, he's like, I know she was there. Like, I know we had this adventure together, but I don't know what she looks like. I don't know what she sounds like,
Yeah.
And then proceeds to say, oh, but when I see her, I'll know it's her.
Right. Which is funny because he's saying this to Clara.
Yes.
And he kind of, the weird part is, He starts looking around the diner and he's like, we were here. We've done this before. And then he's like, no, wait, that was Amy and Rory. Amy and Rory, that's right. Who it was. And I was like, this is great.
Here. No, I love that part.
And go ahead. Sorry.
No. I said I was totally love that part.
Yeah. And it I think at this point she kind of ducks away and you find out that the diner is actually the TARDIS. Not his TARDIS, but the one that they had, the second one he stole.
The other stolen.
A shield is in there, and...
Well, hang on. We need to back up just a hair, because first, ooh, hello Clara's legs, hashtag swoons it.
Yes.
Because there was something, he was trying to remember something that Clara told her while they were trying to open, like, the escape hatch.
Oh,
in the Matrix.
And she tells him.
Yeah, she tells him. She's gotten up. She's standing by the bathroom door with Elvis on it. And she tells him what Clara said. And he's kind of confused a little bit. But then, like, I can't remember if he's, like, starting to walk out or he turns away. But, yeah, she opens the bathroom door. And, yeah, there's a TARDIS in there. And my reaction is, whoa, bathroom door TARDIS.
Yes.
And then it goes, OF, diner-sized TARDIS, as the entire thing dematerializes around him.
Yeah, so it disappears. And because we've seen in Classic Who where it's like a door in a actual real place.
Right.
But this time it was actually the entire place.
Yeah, because I think even at one point the Doctor's trying to remember. He's like, wait. No, this diner, this used to be on the other side of that hill over there. Like,
yes.
It used to be on a completely different highway.
That's what happens, because he remembers, like, we've done this before. No, that was me and Amy and Rory, but wait a minute, that's what's happening. He, like, kind of turns away and kind of looks, and then it disappears around him, and he kind of he kind of is just like, what?
He kind of disoriented, really.
And then we see that she has brought him his TARDIS, which has artwork on it still.
Yep.
And he sees her face, and it's almost like he still cannot piece it together. Because wouldn't he immediately just be like, I need to go find her again?
I don't know. Honestly, I that is left a little vague. I don't know if it's just like maybe he does see it and pieces it together and he goes, oh, she's okay.
Yes, I think that's maybe what happened. He's like, she's okay. All right, I guess that's fine. That's good enough for me. And he goes into the TARDIS and he sees on the, which got me once again. It's just a mess during this entire episode. When she writes on the chalkboard, run you clever boy and be a doctor. And
yes.
I was like, yes. And then you hear like the console makes a noise and then the new Sonic screwdriver comes up. And I was like, in my room, like, yes.
This whole scene where he is walking in and like the lights start coming back and everything starts powering back up. It's just like, he's home again.
Yes. And then
everything will change.
And I just love like I was like, as soon as he caught the screwdriver and then snapped his fingers, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And I opened a separate page. Because I have two screens, I opened another page and went on the Amazon and typed in Sonic Screwdriver to see if they're selling it already.
I will admit, I have looked. I did not look as quickly as you did. But Lord, I want that. That is so cool looking.
He actually does. I saw that video that you, I think, linked me to, where he's just like, hey, this is my Sonic. I had input on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's just like... Yeah. I saw all the prototypes and I had some input and it's TARDIS blue and it kind of looks like the TARDIS. I'm like, this thing is so cool. I want it now.
Let's also not forget, now that we've reached the end, the adventures of me and Clara.
Okay.
Not me and Clara, but me and Clara.
Yes. That needs to be a Big Finish audio.
I would listen to or watch the flip out of that.
Because it was just like, we don't need to go back yet. And it's almost like Ashilda finally gets what she wants. She's traveling with someone that I guess can't really die because they're in a time loop.
Well, I don't know if she's, say, impervious to explosions.
Well, yes.
Let's hope they never find out. But, yeah, she even Clara's like, look, I realize I've got to get back there eventually. But, let's take the scenic route.
Yeah, we're in a TARDIS. We can get there tomorrow, but in 3,000 years.
Right?
So that's awesome.
I hope they do something. I wish that was the spinoff. Forget this whole class. Oh,
yes.
That needs to be the spinoff, BBC.
100% agree.
My final note for this episode, and quite honestly, probably for this season, is holy sheezy, I am breathless and on the verge of tears all at the same time.
Yeah, that's... That pretty much sums up the series. I would like to point out, I did, when the TARDIS took off, I did call the paint melting off of it.
You totally did. I thought of you when I saw that. And I have to say, I am glad that you shared this episode with me, because even though it did record on the DVR, as we were watching it last night, it got to the point where Clara is standing in front of the bathroom door in the diner. She hasn't even opened it yet. And that was the end of the recording.
Oh my God.
Yes. I am glad that I had what I did in order to see it all. And I then had to describe it to everybody who was there last night. What happened? I'm like, I've got it on my phone. I can bring it up real quick, you guys. We can watch it on my laptop. And no, just tell us. I'm like, okay.
That's amazing. I put you, much like the doctor, I put you in a situation in which I knew we were going to win.
There. You know what? I wish I was in studio right now just to high-five you for saying that. Nicely done. sir.
A winnable situation for all. So, yep. Yeah.
I had to calculate so many things in the fraction of a second just to...
And then we get the little kind of cross TARDIS diner and original TARDIS kind of crossing in the stars at the end.
Yes, that was funny. That was cute.
And just, it was good to end on a, I guess, a feel good. Like, I don't feel as sad for Clara now as I did with her just kind of, because she technically is the Doctor. In my opinion, she's just like him, which is why it's impossible for them to be together because they're just so insane.
Right.
They just push each other to the point of, let's just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that she's not dead technically yet. I don't know. I just felt really good about how the season ended, in my opinion.
I did too. I was a little... like I said, I was a little worried earlier in the episode that they were going to unwrite what had happened, because much like, I know you don't watch The Walking Dead, but much like what they did with Glenn on The Walking Dead this first half of the season, it really would have cheapened things.
Right.
And listeners at home, if you watch Walking Dead, you know what I'm talking about. If not, I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Yeah, I believe Ernesto has... talked about that at great length on Yakety Cast. Yeah, he's not happy with that, but whatever. So, next time.
Yes, next time in just a few weeks.
We have the Christmas special, which has been titled The Husbands of River Song. It will see the return of the Sonic Screwdriver, which is blue and lovely.
Yep.
And it looks awesome. Like River has a Sonic trowel?
Actually, in the trailer, when I first wrote this down, I was like, it's a sonic spatula or maybe a trowel or something. But they literally, in the trailer for the Christmas special, calls it a sonic trowel.
That's great.
Now, Reed looks at a trowel and says, yeah, this needs to be more sonic.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
So
there's a crashed spaceship involved.
Yeah. And it takes place right after Angels Take Manhattan and River's timeline. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're following her path,
right,
her path through this, it's like Angels Take Manhattan just happened, and then maybe a little bit of something else, and then obviously this. I don't know if it's a you know, her very next adventure runs into Capaldi's Doctor, but it the last thing that we see River in before this event is Angels Take Manhattan.
Huh. Okay. And I think you said last week it's going to be a lighthearted romp, which I think we all deserve.
Yeah.
Because last year's was a regeneration episode, and this season has indeed been pretty heavy. So I think we've earned this.
I'd like to think so.
So, I mean, that's really it for us this week. We're going to take a little break here, no longer than 2 weeks, and we're going to do a recap of this entire season, which will just probably be us talking about how great it was, but still listen to it.
You know, looking, I at least in my mind, I kind of want to like look at the larger arcs, you know, stuff that we saw planted earlier in the season that paid off, stuff that didn't, you know, stuff that we kind of wish we had seen or, you know, didn't expect to see.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And I think also maybe during the off season, Ernesto has not watched one episode this season. And he said, I'm just going to watch it all in, like, I'm going to binge watch it. Because I guess that's what he does with the shows now. So I might have him on for an episode just discussing his feelings on it, because I think that would be interesting to talk to someone who literally just watched all the way through.
I would actually be very curious to hear that reaction, even if it means me taking an episode off for him to come on and just be like, yeah, I binge watched a whole mess of two-parters and my brain exploded.
I'm pretty sure we have the technology here, so we can Skype call you in and see how that works. I think we've done that like once or twice.
We did. There was a little bit of like running into each other's toes. So
we'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. So that is all for us. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and rate and review us as well. All that stuff, just look up Podcastica, look for the Gallifreyan Writing, and you shall find us. Huge shout out to the Y-Axes. You can follow them on Twitter at the Y-Axes. Like them on Facebook, just search the Y-Axes, and check out their music, theyaxes.bandcamp.com. That's also in the show notes as well. And I believe they have some new music, so check that out. Also, head on over to notlg.spreadshirt.com and buy a shirt. And actually, you can follow me on Twitter, at Sir Pingle, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter.
At Bus Buddha.
And that is it for us. What a fantastic season. We will see you guys in 2 weeks when we do a little recap and all that good stuff. And
get ready for the Christmas special.
Yes, and we'll probably have some Who news by then. Maybe we'll have a companion name. I highly doubt it, but
I've got a feeling if we do, it will be after the Christmas special. That's just kind of what my gut is saying.
Yeah, they don't want to take away from the Christmas special. That sounds about right. All right, so we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks. See ya.
See ya.
Weird.
Huh, what?
No, sorry.
Everything's
fine. I'm feeling around in my mouth right now.
Please tell me that's going to be at the end.
Oh, it will now.
Night of the Living Geek.